today on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
That if God brought me through the lion, and if God brought me through the bear, then the same God that kept me with the lion, and the same God that kept me from the bear, is the same God who will keep me against the lion.
Welcome to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church, an inspiring weekly series that will provide practical life applications and motivate you to step out of the shadows and move forward in your faith.
This week in part two of a sermon entitled Before the Battle Begins, Pastor Wesley uses 1 Samuel 17, 32 through 37 to remind us that the victory over any of life's battles starts in your mind. Let's listen in.
You all know in my beloved Southside Chicago that there's a multitude of violence and gun violence and killing of young black lives. And they're doing an expose on the History Channel about the violence on the south side of Chicago. And they're talking about these young black men, and they were interviewing some gangsters, and the dude who was interviewing them asked them, what do you plan on doing when you get to be about 60 or 70 if you're living like this? And watch what he said. We don't plan on living that long. That the reason they're so violent now is that they have no vision for their lives at 70. They don't see themselves at 65. They see themselves dying young. And I just come by to tell you that if you're going to make it, you got to see yourself. Can I testify? I see myself at 95. At 95, I'm going to be fit and trim and still getting it in. At 95. At 95, when I'm in church and a preacher start to make me feel good, I'm still going to praise God. I may not lift my hands and I may not take a lap, but I'm going to get my little slow rock in because I see myself living the life God has for me even when I'm old and gray, because you've got to have a vision for victory in your life. You gotta see yourself victorious. So when he talks to the soldiers, David says, listen, I've got a victory of vision. But then notice after he talks to the soldiers in verse number 29, he begins to have discussion with his oldest brother, Eliab. And listen at the negativity Eliab puts in his spirit. Look at the vitriol and the discouragement and the nasty talk of his oldest brother. He says in verse 28, David, I know why you're here. You came down here to see the battle. Where have you left daddy's sheep? You're insolent in your heart. You ain't no good. I don't know why you're down here. You ain't doing nothing but getting in the way. You're meddling. David, something's wrong with you. He literally maligns David's intentions. He mocks David's efforts. He ridicules David's plan. He belittles David's vision. He disrespects David's assignment. Because whenever God has given you a vision, the devil sends someone to discourage you. That vision and discouragement go hand in hand. That there's always someone who wants to tell you what you can't do. Always someone who wants to tell you that your motivation isn't right, that your plan will not succeed, that you are not where you ought to be, you're not doing what you should be doing. The devil, and he always uses folk close to you. Notice, therefore, that when Eliab begins to speak this negativity to David, notice that this is the shortest conversation David has. He doesn't try to persuade Eliab. He doesn't try to explain himself to Eliab. He doesn't try to defend his vision to Eliab. He doesn't try to convince Eliab to support him. David understands that when you're about to go into the battle, you have to be selective of who speaks to your spirit. That you can't listen to everybody. You can't take advice from everybody. You can't deal with everybody's issues. You can't be persuaded by everybody's opinions. Because there are some people who are not qualified to speak into your spirit when you're about to go into the greatest challenge of your life. There's some folk you've got to ignore, you've got to walk away from, you've got to shut your ears to, because they are not there to help you. And this is his brother, Eliab. And notice what David says to Eliab in verse number 29. He says to Eliab, "What have I done now?" Now, don't miss that word now, because that word now lets you know that David knows who he's dealing with. Yeah. Watch this. Because if you come to me complaining about something in church, and my response to you is, "Well, what's wrong with you now?" That's my subtle way of me letting you know that you complain too much. And you always got something negative to say, and you're always upset about something. When someone uses that word now, they're letting you know, I know you. And this is just more the same of what you do. So David looks at Eliab and says, "What have I done now?" Suggesting, Eliab, you always have a problem with me. And you're not qualified to speak to me when I'm going into battle. Listen, let me tell you three quick things that disqualified Eliab. Can I drop them on you? Eliab was disqualified from speaking to David, number one, because he was envious of David. The church said he was jealous. Because you remember back in chapter 16, when old Samuel showed up to anoint the next king of Israel, that the first brother Jesse brought out was Eliab. Samuel looked him up and down and said, "No, that is not the one the Lord has chosen." And they went through everybody else, and then they pulled in David out of the field, and Samuel said, "Now that's the one that the Lord has chosen." And I'll suggest to you that Eliab is upset because the favor of God has not rested on him, but the favor of God has rested on David. And never underestimate how far jealous folk will go to discourage you when they know God has favored you. Go on, preach, Pastor. He's envious of David. Can I tell you number two that disqualified him? Watch folk who are jealous. The second thing disqualified him, he was intimidated by David. Watch what he says. Eliab says to David, "You've come down here to watch the battle." The problem is, ain't none of y'all fighting? Y'all sitting up here scared. And Eliab says, "You come to see the battle." What battle? So he's intimidated, watch this, because David has a vision of doing what Eliab is scared to do. And you've got to be careful, because there's some people your vision intimidates them. You're trying to do what they quit trying to do years ago. You got the audacity to believe you can take it somewhere they never dreamed they could. And they will try to discourage you because they don't want your resume to outshine theirs. Pastor teaching today, ain't he? Look, he's envious of David. He's intimidated by David. And watch the third thing that disqualifies him. He's ignorant of David's assignment. He said, "Listen, what brings you down here? You came down here and you left daddy's sheep and you're down here just to watch the battle." What Eliab didn't know was that earlier in chapter 17, David's father Jesse told him, "Take the lunches I've made and take them down to your brothers and bless them, because I know they're hungry." Here's the problem. "You don't understand what my father told me to do. And so now you're discouraging me because you're ignorant of what daddy told me to do." And you got to be careful of folk who have no discernment of what your father has commanded you to do, because they will try to discourage you from doing what God has called you to do, because they don't know what God called you to do. There are some people you can't listen to. I found this out on a plane with Joe yesterday. Joe and I yesterday, we had to travel up to Hartford, Mass., Hartford, Connecticut, and we flew back down. And on the way back down, we got on a plane, and a lady came on the plane with three kids. Two of them were well-behaved. And one of them, she was hollering to her heart's content. And I'm sitting on the plane trying to meditate and work on the sermon, and then Joe wanna watch TV because he ain't got to preach today. So I'm trying to write a sermon. Joe's trying to watch TV, and the girl is just hollering. And Joe says, "Well, I'm gonna put on my earphones." I said, "Well, let me go get my earphones." I put our earphones on, and the girl kept hollering throughout the entire flight. When we landed, Joe's like, "How did you get work on your sermon done when that girl was hollering so much?" I said, "Well, I had on earphones." He said, "Yeah, I had on earphones too, but I could barely hear the TV because girl kept hollering so loud. How could you meditate on your sermon when she's hollering so loud?" I said, "Well, you had on earbuds. But 3 years ago, the Kaya Ministry gave me some Bose noise-canceling headsets that when you put them on and you flip the switch, they silence all the noise around you so you can focus on what God has called you to do. And I just came by to tell somebody that's exactly what you need in your spirit. Some noise-canceling headsets that there's some discouragement, some nonsense, some foolishness you can't listen to." Tell somebody something. You got to be selective of who speaks to your spirit. I got to move quick. Listen, he has a vision of victory. He's selective about who speaks to his spirit. But after he speaks to the soldiers and Eliab, now he begins to speak to Saul. And notice what Saul tells David. Saul tells David, "You can't fight Goliath. You're a child." He's been fighting since he was a child. Here's what Saul says. "You're 17. He's been fighting longer than you've been alive. He's killed hundreds. Never lost a battle. Been in the valley and always came out victorious. No one has beaten Goliath, and therefore you won't either." Because you see, if the enemy can't discourage you, he'll try to scare you. He will remind you of how Goliath has been victorious over others. He'll run the list of everyone who tried and failed, of everyone who was diagnosed and died, of everyone who gave it their best and came up short, of everyone who wanted to but couldn't, of folk who dreamed and never saw it come to reality. He will run the list of how Goliath has defeated others who have stood in your shoes with the same vision to try to scare you to think that the experiences of others set limitations on you.
You've been listening to part two of Before the Battle Begins here on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley. We'll be right back.
Everyone is invited to join us for Kaya, our monthly Come As You Are worship experience. This is an exciting gathering for millennials and young adults that tackles real and relevant issues of everyday life. Wednesday, July 6th at 7:30 p.m. only at Alfred Street Baptist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. For more information, visit alfredstreet.org. Networking, social session, and light refreshments all start at 6:30 p.m. in the multipurpose room. Remember, there's no dress code required for Kaya, so we invite you to come as you are.
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. To download this week's message in its entirety or to support this ministry financially, visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has four opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.
The enemy will try to convince you that the experiences of others ultimately set limitations on you. And here's what David says. David says, listen. When you walk with God and you've got undeniable evidence that God is in your life, you will never allow yourself to be limited by someone else's past failures. Say that again. When you've got evidence that God is in your life, you will not limit God by what others could not do. When you've got evidence that God has been working in your life, you just believe that the same God who started it back then is a God who's able to keep it going right now. Watch this. Watch this. Watch how the conversation goes. Saul says, listen, nobody else has beaten Goliath. What makes you think you can? And the answer, watch, I'm going to get deep. So David says, because I'm anointed. Not only do I have a vision of victory, not only am I selected by who speaks in my spirit, but I'm aware of my anointing. So Saul says, boy, what makes you think you can fight Goliath? Let me give it to you the Howard John Wesley translation. David says, well, Saul, I need to let you know, I really shouldn't be here. Because you see, a little while ago, I was out tending my dad's sheep. And a lion came and grabbed one of them sheep. And I was stupid enough to run after the lion. And when I hit the lion, he let go of the sheep. But then he turned on me. And I grabbed him by the beard. And I struck his head off. And I went back to the flock. And I ain't learned my lesson, because the next day, a bear showed up and stole a sheep. And because I beat the lion, I decided to go after the bear. And I hit the bear. The bear let go of the sheep. But then the bear turned on me. I grabbed him by the beard. And I struck his head off. And I just figured that if God brought me through the lion, and if God brought me through the bear, then the same God that kept me with the lion, and the same God that kept me from the bear, is the same God who will keep me against Goliath. David says, listen, I know I can win this thing because I'm anointed. Now, I want to teach you something. Anointed does not mean you talk in 1,000 tongues. Anointed doesn't mean you lay hands on folk and they fall out. Anointed doesn't mean you can prophesy and speak things into existence in people's life. What anointed literally means is that you have physical evidence that the Spirit of the Lord is resting on your life. You've got evidence that God's hand must be on you. You've got evidence that the Lord is working in your life. That evidence is not the Bible you carry. It's not the scriptures you quote. It's not the church you go through. But there's some people who can look back at the hell they've been in and declare, the only reason I came out is because the hand of God must have been on my life. And therefore, I know I'm anointed. Tell somebody, tell them, I'm anointed. After all the hell I've been through, I must be anointed. After all the struggles I survived, I must be anointed. After all the surgeries I've come through, I must be anointed. After all the diagnosis I dealt with, I must be anointed. And because I'm anointed, I can claim victory in this battle. Come on, let's go to Sunday school. You got to have a vision of victory. You got to be selected about who speaks to your spirit. You got to be aware of your anointing. But watch this last thing that takes David into victory, that he brings into the battle that Goliath didn't see. You've got to go in the power of prayer. God, I feel like preaching here. Watch what happens. David gets ready to go down in the battle. And Saul tries to put his armor on David. And David turns to Saul and says, look, why are you putting this on me? And here's the answer. Because that's what Goliath has. And if you're going to fight Goliath, shouldn't you try to look like Goliath? David takes it off. And this is what he says. Your armor is not tested by me. I've not tried this before. This isn't what I had on when I beat the lion. This isn't what brought me out of the bear. Now, this may work for you, but I'm not going to let the size of the battle change the strategy of success. That I'm going to do with Goliath what I did with the lion. And I'm going to do with Goliath what I did with the bear. Saul looked back and said, listen, if you don't go down there with a sword, you don't go down with a shield, you don't go down with a helmet, what are you going to go with? David's answer, I'm going to go and I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. So when he gets down in the battlefield, Goliath looks at him and begins to laugh. He laughs because David ain't got no armor. He laughs because all he sees is a rock and a slingshot. But he does not know that David has something much more powerful. He tells Goliath, you come to me with sword and spear, but I stand here in the name of the living God of Israel, and I'm going to call on his name, and he will deliver. This is what David says. I'm going to let you go. I'm putting this battle in God's hands. You done messed up and let me pray. You should have killed me before I knelt down on my knees. You should have ended this thing before I could lift up the name of my God. But now that I put it in God's hands, the Lord will fight this battle. The Lord will handle this situation. Is there anybody here that knows the power of putting it in God's hands? Okay. I'm done. That's as good as I can preach. Can I share with you the power of putting it in God's hands? There are scholars who examine scripture with a scientific eye. And as they do, they begin to doubt the veracity of this encounter. Because they wonder, how could one rock kill Goliath? So they did the science, Rosin. Here's what they said, that David with a rock the size of a baseball, that with a slingshot, the fastest he could have released it would have been with a trajectory of about 90 miles per hour. They said, and if you take a projectile going 90 miles an hour and you use Newton's second law of motion and take into effect the coefficient of restitution, that a projectile that size at 90 miles an hour would generate about 3,000 pounds of force as it was released. That is, if it was traveling the distance of a pitcher to the home plate, which is 60 feet and 6 inches. But since Goliath is at least twice that far, one also has to take into effect the drag of the distance of the ball, which is working against the velocity and the force. Therefore, since he's further away, what was generated at 3,000 pounds has now reduced itself arguably to at least 1,000 pounds. That is, if David was throwing it straight. The problem is Goliath is taller than David, which means the angle of projectile for which he launched it had to be at least at 45 degrees, which means that now the ball is also working against gravity, which has also reduced the force that the ball has been released. So what was 3,000 pounds of force has now been arguably reduced to about 500 pounds of force. But you must remember that there is an armor bearer who stands in front of Goliath, who would have lifted up his shield to take the projectile off course and would have reduced the force to at least 50 pounds and taken it off of the direction headed towards Goliath's head. But if David could throw it, and if it did work against drag, and if it did counter the weight, if it did go against the coefficient of restitution, if it was knocked off course and still aimed at Goliath's head, Goliath is wearing a helmet. And a projectile that started with 3,000 pounds of force and ended at 50, hitting a bronze helmet, would not have been enough to kill Goliath. So how can a young boy with one rock working against gravity, working against the coefficient of restitution, working against drag, being deflected by an armor bearer, hitting a bronze helmet, how could he kill a giant? Because he put it in God's hand. There ought to be a shout right there that if you put it in God's hands, it has supernatural power. If you put it in God's hands, it'll work against every force. If you put it in God's hands, it'll always hit the target. Is there anybody here that's ever put it in the hand of God? And God will. There was a song that the old choirs in Chicago used to sing. I put it all in his hand. This and that. This, this and that. This, this, this and that. I put it all in his hands. He can handle it. That's a fact. I put it all in his hand. Tell somebody, tell him, put it in God's hands. Listen, as you stand on your feet, you're about to go into that valley of life. You're about to face some giants that have taken out others before you. You're about to go through a procedure that has left others weak and feeble. You're about to go through a season of being by yourself that's left others desperate and hopeless. You're about to launch out in a new venture that others have failed at. And here's what God says to you: before it begins, see yourself victorious. Before it begins, know that there's some people you cannot listen to. Be aware of how anointed you are. The same God who kept you through lions and bears will keep you through Goliaths. And go into it putting it all in God's hands. And no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the forces, no matter what the distance, God is able to take your one rock in his hands and make it hit the target you need in your life.
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. To download this week's message in its entirety or to support this ministry financially, visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has four opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.